Our epistle for this first Sunday after Easter is taken from the first epistle, St. John the Apostle, chapter 5, verses 4 through 10. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world, if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ. Not in the water only, but in water and in blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. At that time, when it was late the same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen, yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. Thus far the words of today's epistle and holy gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, on this first Sunday after Epiphany, our meditation takes us to Easter evening. Holy Mother, the Church presents to us this gospel, to a room that is filled with fear, a door that has been closed and bolted. True, it's been opened a few times that day, but quickly shut and bolted. You have the two disciples on the way to Emmaus, and they met our Lord, and they came back with a word. They didn't recognize him at first until he broke bread. You have Mary Magdalene coming with the message of what she saw, the message that she had for the apostles, that Christ was to go before them into Galilee. We have Peter and John and the apostolic race that took place to the tomb. John, being faster than Peter, got there first, but waited so Peter could go into the tomb first. So the door has been kind of opening and closing a few times this day, but Scripture tells us the door is being shut. And it seems one could read into that, shut and secured. And this is the room that Christ appeared in. And what is the message that he gives them? Peace be to you. He just tries to dispel their fear. He shows them his wounds. He has them come and place their hand to his side and to look at it. And almost as if it were to see the heart that stopped beating on that hill called Calvary, beating once again, never more to die. This message of peace, Christ had promised them at the Last Supper. Peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give it. I give you a different type of peace. Don't look for that type of peace. I'll give you a peace that's soul deep. But a peace of this magnitude depends on faith, a belief. And we know that their belief was shaken. Maybe it's another reason for their fear. Oh, they just didn't fear that their lives were threatened and they would have to maybe be put towards the same type of persecution as their master. No, I mean, I think there's another fear. They had abandoned their master and they feared the repercussions of that. They found the emptiness. They were sick at heart. You see, my friends, there's really only one type of fear to have. And it's a gift that comes to us from the Holy Spirit. The fear of the Lord. Not the fear of his judgment. Although, that's a good place to start. We don't want the just judge to be angry with us. It's not a fear of the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. That's the imperfect. No, it's a fear that can only be found when love is true. We fear to displease God. The apostles had abandoned him. He had warned them. They were too focused on themselves. They were arguing which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom. And they weren't listening to his message. And when the time came, they failed. And all they were left with is that melancholic, dark, and soul-deep fear of failure, of spiritual failure. But Christ's message, peace be to you. It reminds me of that time we read of in Scripture where the apostles, they were getting too involved in the world with the exteriors. Christ is trying to preach his gospel, performing the miracles, and they're kind of basking in it. And he says, no, okay, get in the boat, go off to the other side. And he leads them to go. And he goes up to the mountains to pray, but he keeps an eye on his apostles. He always keeps an eye on his own. He's the good shepherd. And they got caught up in a storm. They were struggling. They were rowing against the wind. He sees that they're having trouble. And so he goes down and he appears. And he walks on the water to them. And it says, fear seized them. Until he says, don't be afraid. It is I. At that moment, when he appeared before them in Jerusalem, he says basically the same thing. He doesn't say it. He shows. It's I. Come. Look at the wounds. And then he eats with them. Now, Thomas was given an opportunity, a great opportunity. Thomas wasn't there. Why wasn't Thomas there? Thomas was probably too sick of sitting and cowering and hiding. Who knows? But he wasn't there. He comes back and says, we've seen the Lord. He says, okay, whatever. Not unless I put my fingers into the place of his nails and put my hand into his side. I'm not going to believe. A week later, Thomas is with them. The doors are still shut. There's still fear in that maybe not as much, but there's still that human frailty. Human frailty is hard to get rid of. We can't be discouraged at our efforts. We just need to be persistent and keep perfecting our intention. Have that purity of intention, which is the only way for us to grow in God's grace. The door being shut, Christ comes in and he addresses first the fear. Again, peace be to you. He says to Thomas, come here, Thomas. Bring here your finger and put it into the place of my nails, and bring in here your hand and put it into my side, and do not be incredulous, but believe. And Thomas came close and saw that heart beating, those wounds which paid the price, and fell on his knees and says, my Lord and my God. And Christ says to him, because you've seen me, Thomas, you believe. And this was Thomas's missed opportunity. He had an opportunity that none of the other apostles had, because Thomas wasn't there. The apostles said they seen him. Christ had told them that he would rise from the dead. And when Thomas was told this, he did not believe. And Christ addresses this and says to him, because you've seen me, Thomas, you believe. And then Christ talks about the opportunity that millions would have, including you and I, through the centuries. Blessed are they who have not seen yet still believe. And it comes to us at this moment. We're in church and we see the host raised above the priest's head. Or we come to the communion rail and the priest brings to us that little, what looks as a little white wafer. And here we hear the words, Corpus Domini Nostri Iesu Christi, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do I believe? Do I believe that that's him? Because he said so. If I really and truly believe, and it doesn't have to be based on feeling or emotion, it's something that comes deeper from the higher faculties of the intellect and the free will. I believe because he said so. Then once I truly believe in him, then I can have everything he has promised. But faith is necessary. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. And when you have the testimony of God in yourself, then you're blessed. Blessed are they who have not seen yet still believe. I was doing a little meditation, and I was reading out of this book by Mother Mary St. Paul. She wrote quite a few things, and she was talking about this group of people that are blessed. Blessed are they who have to walk by faith and not by sight. Blessed are they who, when they see the little host elevated at Mass, can say with as much faith as did St. Thomas, my Lord and my God. Blessed are they who can detect their master hidden in whatever disguise he assumes. Blessed are they who can endure by seeing him that is invisible. Blessed are they who have those precious wounds ever before them, because they cannot forget that it was their sin which caused them, and because the precious blood flows from them for them. Blessed are they who can live in his sacred heart and know that it is beating with love for them. Blessed are they who can take him at his word and believe that all will be as he says. Blessed are they who can take everything from his hands, though they have never seen them. Blessed, thrice blessed, are they who have not seen yet have believed. Do not let us envy the apostles or those who he blesses with visions, but rather cling to that title of blessed, which he himself has given to us if we live high up to the high standard of faith which he taught. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.